Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Department of Graceful Aging here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, this is a letter from David Lee Roberts.
Okay.
A story, it says.
All right, I'm ready.
Working people frequently ask retired people, what do they do to make their days interesting? I went to the store the other day. I was only in there about 5 minutes. When I came out, there was a city cop writing out a parking ticket. I went up to him and said, come on, buddy. How about giving a senior a break? He ignored me and continued writing the ticket. I called him a Nazi. He glared at me and started writing another ticket for having worn tires. So I called him a piece of horse manure. He finished the second ticket and put it on the windshield with the first. Then he started writing a third ticket. This went on for about 20 minutes. The more I abused him, the more tickets he wrote. I didn't care. My car was parked around the corner.
I saw it coming.
See, you never know what those old geezers are doing.
Yeah, mischief, I guess. If you have a question about your car, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Angela calling from Eugene, Oregon.
Hi, Angela.
Angela.
Hi.
How are you? What a nice name.
Oh, thank you.
So what's going on?
I have a 1984 Audi 4000S. And the oddest thing, when I turn on the defrost, and it doesn't always happen, but I get this big whiff of maple syrup that comes right out of my dash.
Oh, that's not good.
It ain't maple syrup.
It ain't maple syrup.
Went to a pancake breakfast.
But it's about as expensive.
Left someone on the dashboard.
It's about the same price as maple syrup. This stuff is about $900 a gallon. That's what's going to cost to fix this.
Are you serious?
Well, it may.
It's sort of sticky stuff.
Well, it isn't even sticky. It just has that pleasant aroma.
Yeah, it smells so good.
Okay.
And how can something that smells so good be so bad?
Uh-huh.
You might ask.
It's antifreeze,
yeah.
Angela.
See, that's what I was thinking, but I couldn't see it anywhere in the engine.
Well, you can't because it's all leaking underneath the carpet.
Really?
Yeah, probably. What's leaking is the heat exchanger or the heater core.
Uh-huh.
And that thing is a little radiator that's under your dashboard. Really under the dashboard. I mean,
yes.
way under the secreted dashboard.
Secreted under the dashboard, you might say.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they go out of their way. They put it in. I think they build the entire car around
They suspend these things from wires.
Wires.
Yeah, like
and
fishing
then they
lines.
They build the entire car, and then they cut the wires. And that thing is in there somewhere, they're not telling anybody. I mean, even the dealers don't know where it is.
Ever get this out? It's like a Ford Taurus. Ford Tauruses are like this. I had a customer that came in the other day with a relatively new Sable,
mm-hmm.
and he needed a new heater core. His car, unfortunately, was 3 years and a month old.
Yeah.
And they told him he's going to have to pay for it because he's beyond the warranty.
What did they want for that job?
I think a mere $900.
I just said that to her.
Yeah. So you may be looking at that amount of money, too. On the other hand, you know, if you have a good stock of long underwear and the like, you could probably tough it out through the winter.
So my best choice is not turning the heater on?
Well, yeah. I mean, that will solve the problem because you do have a heater control valve on this car under the dash.
So that will shut the flow of coolant from the engine to the heater core. So it will stop leaking. And also, by the way, it's not good to breathe this stuff.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you need to have it done, unless you want to just shut it off and go without heat. You can try a stop leak compound. You can try adding a Lumiseal to your radiator,
mm-hmm.
or bars leak, or raw eggs,
yeah.
or pepper. But I would try
all
the first
of these things work sometimes, and it's definitely a time to try this stuff.
Okay.
Even though mostly it doesn't work. Who cares? I mean, if you're facing $800 to fix the thing.
Yeah, you'll certainly spend $10 for the can of stuff.
And $10 for the next one, and $10 for the next one, until it approaches
$900. Right. Yeah, when you start closing in on $300, you might just want to reconsider. And my brother, as he's mentioned in the past, has always recommended that you look for a container that says the word miracle on the on the labeling.
Yeah.
Because anything that says miracle is bound
miracle
to work. It's going to be a miracle if this works. But you'll want heat at some point during the winter.
Probably.
And I would suggest a soda straw stuck out the window so you can breathe.
One of those flexi straws.
You know what to do? Have you got a hibachi?
A hibachi?
You know those little things that are cheap? You can buy one, and you can maybe just catch one in the hardware store that still has one.
Sure.
And you just put it on the seat next to you. Throw that those briquettes in there and fire that baby up. I would start it outside the car because the headliners can't take it.
Yeah, yeah, the flames.
Was antifreeze flammable?
No, no, don't worry about that. See you, Angela.
Good luck, Angela.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
At least she's got a heater that can leak. I don't even have a heater.
And she sounds like a good sport.
She can take a joke. She can take it. And besides, does it get that cold in Eugene? You bet it does.
Oh, I think so. I don't know where Eugene is. Dougie's seen Eugene recently, but I don't think anyone else has.
Oh, Eugene, my brother-in-law, he's in the parallel universe. He'll be back, though.
Oh, yeah.
He crawls in and out of those wormholes.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Eric from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Hi, Eric from Ann Arbor. What's going on, man?
I'm actually calling for my mom. She has a 95 Dodge Intrepid with 106,000 miles on it.
Wow.
And she brought it into the dealership, and she told them that she was going to sell the car, and that she just wanted it checked over.
Yeah, you should never tell them that, because they figure this is their last chance to get you. They figure she's going to go buy an Audi, and why not get it for every cent they possibly can? But obviously, it's too late for that admonition.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Yeah, well, they came up with a bill of about $959.
Perfect.
Yeah,
why did she say she wanted to do this so that she could sell the car in good conscience?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, she actually looking to sell it in 6 months or so.
Oh,
I see.
Yeah, so like one thing that was glaring at me when I looked at the bill is that they said the front crank seal was leaking. Now the part cost $4.10, and the labor cost $358.
That's about right. Isn't that something, huh?
Yeah. So we were wondering if this is even worth doing before we sell the car.
No.
Or what it's all about.
Well, I mean, if it were leaking badly, you'd see spots of oil in the driveway. Do you?
I don't think there's any spots there, actually.
And there hasn't been excessive oil consumption in your estimation?
I actually don't drive the car, so I can't really be...
So you don't know. Well, I mean, that's what you'd want to know from your mom.
Okay.
I mean, if the thing is leaking so badly that it's just pouring out, which is unlikely, by the way.
Okay.
But possible.
Well, she'd know it. The driver
would
be a mess, and she'd be adding oil frequently.
Okay.
And this certainly would qualify as falling under the description that my brother gave at the beginning of this, that they're looking for anything that they could find. That I think. I mean, it might be that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
They also said all belts are glazed.
Yeah, they probably are.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's reasonable?
If the belts are making noise, I'd replace them, because that'll sound bad to a prospective buyer.
Okay.
Other than that, I would just drive the car.
Okay, great.
And I wouldn't be too worried about
it. But ask her if she's consuming oil, because maybe she does have to do these things.
Okay, I'll ask her. Okay, great.
See you, Eric.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Thanks, bye-bye.
See, why do people think that there ought to be some correlation between the price of the part and the price of the labor?
Yeah.
I mean, if it was the other way around, if the part had been $380 and the labor had been $4.10, nobody would complain. But if you say that the part is $4.10 and the labor is $380, everyone's going to complain. There must be some optimal ratio.
Well, the optimal ratio is, for example,
another doctoral dissertation.
The power steering pump is $200 for the part, $200 for the labor, and that seems fair.
You think 50-50 is right?
50-50 is right.
No, I think the part's going to cost more than the labor in all cases.
You think so?
So if you say, well, the part is $295 and it's $5 to put it in. They say, do it.
I'm going to try it. No matter if the job is $300, the part's $280.
That's it, every time.
Plus tax and $7 labor.
See if it works. $7 labor. Yeah, that's good. I like it. Yeah. I would like
it. It only took us a minute to put that new crankshaft in. Maybe a minute and a half. But we have a minimum labor rate of $7.
That is a doctoral dissertation.
Oh, indeed. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. It's worthy of Sir Worthington Price Fix.
It is.
Yeah.
In fact, my buddy Dick Harmer, who used to teach at BU, but I don't think he does anymore, but he is the world's foremost pricing authority. I'm going to propose this to him, Well, I'm sure he'll have a doctoral student on this in a week.
Well, I mean, rest assured that the people that sell everything on late night TV have got him beat by a mile.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they wrote the book.
He consults to them.
Well, maybe with them. If you see one of those things on late night TV and you say, boy, I'd buy that if it wasn't $200. And they say, it's not $200. It's not $100. It's not even $50. It's $49.95.
But nope. Tonight only $19.95.
And we throw in the entire Sleepy LaBeouf collection. And you reach it. You can't help it. You just go for the credit card. You can't help it.
Yeah. Is that how you bought Mob Hits?
Yeah. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Peter Daniels from Crested Butte, Colorado.
Hi, Peter.
From where?
Crested Butte.
Crested Butte.
It's a small ski town, central Colorado.
That's better than Crested Brute.
Or Crested Butt.
Everybody who lives here has heard that one.
Crested Butte, where? What state?
Colorado.
Colorado.
Oh, okay. So what's up, Peter?
Okay, well, I have a car.
Good.
And that's the first problem. The rest of it is the mechanic, and that's me.
Oh, that's what the second problem.
I know it, and it's a biggie.
Yeah.
The problem is, I could be driving along, and in the day, it's not a problem, but generally when I turn on the lights, and particularly if I have the heater on, if I step on the brakes, there's often a flash or sparks, and usually accompanied with the smell of wires.
where does the flash occur?
That occurs directly above my left foot, near the clutch, and it's at that time that everything about the car stops. So the clock stops ticking, the engine, the lights, the only thing continuing is any forward momentum I might have had. So
what year Dodge Dart is this?
It's a Honda Accord.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, well.
How old?
80, 81, something like that.
80, 81.
Yeah,
when
you go back that far, they just do approximate dates.
Well, yeah. I've never figured it out, and every time I need to buy a part for it, they're the same regardless of the year, so I never bothered.
Yeah.
But, okay, here's a hint. It may help you. Years ago, a bicycle that was being taken off the roof ripped the antenna off, and I'm wondering if water could have flown down inside of that little extra space that was then made and then gotten into the wires, and then overheated, because it originally started in 92.
Wait, water could have flown down?
I lived in Washington State. I thought it might have just past tense of flow.
Yeah, it is. I'm sorry. It's past participle, right? Flow, flowed, flown.
Well, as long as the point's conveyed.
I loved it.
The point was conveyed.
And the point was I understood everything.
Okay. Didn't bother me.
So
okay.
You think maybe water got down in a short circus?
I thought
that
might have been a short circus.
I don't think so.
I thought that was the beginning, maybe.
Well, no, you say the problem happens when you step on the brake only.
Yeah.
Well, have you bothered to look to see if how many wires you're crunching when you're stepping on the brake?
No, I don't think it's that. I think it's more along the lines of just like power draw.
No,
you
it's
think
not.
So? I mean, the additional power draw when the brake is depressed is pretty minimal.
It's 4 amps.
Okay. Well, why would it be increased? Why would this problem get worse when I also have the blower fan on?
And what happens again? You see sparks?
Uh-huh. and I'm nearly confident that when I stand on that brake, it doesn't budge a wire.
And well, it happens if, every time?
What if you had everything else off?
Well, without the lights off and without the fan off, it's usually a pretty good bet that I'm fine.
Oh, that's why you have drawn the conclusion you've drawn.
Yeah.
And I'm with you now.
Okay. Well,
I still
page.
Don't believe it. Because, I mean, it's very unlikely that power draw could cause sparks to fly.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to have positive making contact with negative.
A short circuit.
And that happens when you push a wire somewhere.
Mm.
And I would have to bet big bucks.
Okay.
That if you had the stomach for it and could lie down on your back.
I've done it.
With your head underneath that dashboard.
Been there.
While driving.
Well, that's tougher. That's a little bit harder.
Well, did you do it with the heater on, the lights on, and have someone depress the brake pedal?
No, I've just done it sitting there in the driveway.
Oh, you've got to turn everything on and pretend that you're driving, but obviously don't.
Exactly.
Put your head under there and have somebody else.
I would wear safety glasses just in case.
in case sparks
do fly.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah. And I think you'll just see what's happening. It's going to be...
So you're still pretty sure that I'm moving a wire when I step
I think
it.
You're going to do a visual on this one.
I think so.
I think so. It is not an electrical problem. It is a mechanical problem.
Okay.
I would bet money on it.
I just don't see how it's related to when the blower's on, though.
It's rare that we get calls like this because most cars with these problems catch fire.
That's
and
another
I don't
story.
Know how yours escaped, quite
That's
honestly.
That's another story. That was a different Honda.
That was you've burned one up already.
Well, that wasn't my fault.
No, you have. I'm telling you, you have got to be somehow moving a wire.
Okay.
You've got to be, or somehow interrupting a ground circuit. You may be, for example, when stepping on the brake, you may be moving the firewall enough.
Ooh.
To interrupt a ground circuit.
Jeez, okay.
Okay,
ooh,
because...
that could be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Either you have a cracked firewall, yep. And you're interrupting a ground circuit that flows through the firewall or some such thing, and that's causing the dimming of the headlights, and it's causing the sparks or whatever else you see.
So tomorrow morning, just turn on the heater, turn on the lights,
yep.
And crawl under there.
Do it at night.
Of course, at
with
night.
With glasses.
Yeah. And you'll see those sparks fly, and you'll know exactly what it is.
Okay.
But make sure there's someone around to help you, because when the thing catches fire, you need someone to grab your feet and drag you out of that front seat, because you'll be
right.
buried
and
in
throw
there.
Sand on you.
I'm writing this down. Okay, throw sand.
Throw
okay.
sand on
Got
Peter.
It. Okay.
Thanks, Peter. Good
yes,
luck.
Sir. Take care.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. All right, Tommy, do you remember anything about last week's puzzler?
No.
Well, I'll help. It was a story of love, romance, ingenuity, and dead batteries.
And better ones?
And I'll have the answer in just a minute.
I told him your car's creepy, man, and not in a gangster kind of way, but in a perv kind of way. You got a lot of nerve driving that kind of car and taking me fishing out to the park. You're like some dude on blow in that movie Boogie Nights. And this Friday night, you want to go to the fights in your commute.
And even though our kids try to explain to their classmates, no, we're not related to those Malyazis whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the Walton Family Foundation, where opportunity takes root. More information is available at waltonfamilyfoundation.org.
NPR's Code Switch is a podcast about race in America that's about all of us. Our histories, how we're represented, the ways we've worked together, and... worked against each other. You'll learn, you might get mad, you'll definitely laugh, but don't take my word for it. Just listen to NPR's Code Switch.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
I can't remember it.
Oh, here it is. Murray Price and I conspired on this puzzler. Many, many, many years ago when Krusty, our old mechanic, was a young man and courting the girls, he decided to take one of his dates out for a ride in the country one evening. Took them all out to the country. And his plan, of course, was to park by the lake and do a little smooching. So they park the car and they go off for a little walk in the woods and end up by the water's edge. Very romantic, you know.
Yeah, I love it.
And an hour later, to his horror, he remembers that he left his headlights on. So he runs back to the car, leaving his date at the lake, and turns off the now dim headlights. Puts the key in the ignition. He tries to start the car, but he gets that awful dead battery sound. The engine is just turning over barely and clearly not fast enough to start the engine up. Now, he knows if he doesn't get his date home on time, her father, or maybe it was her husband, is going to be waiting with the shotgun. So he's got to think of something quick. The car is parked in such a location that he could never hope to push it out of there. And in any event, he couldn't push it out of it because it's an automatic transmission car.
So. Oh, man.
Anyway, in the trunk, he's got a gallon of Filippo Berio extra virgin olive
oil. Doesn't everybody.
A family-sized tube of Preparation H.
Doesn't everybody.
A pair of pliers and a set of jumper cables, but alas, no one to get a jump from. And yet in about 5 minutes, he gets the car running. He does get his date back in time, and her father never finds out.
Wow.
The hint was he used the pliers. How did he do it?
Used the pliers?
He used the pliers. Now, the hints are all there, of course. They're all embedded.
Did he have a cell phone?
Yeah. What he did have was an old car. one of those cars where you could take out the spark plugs with a pair of pliers.
Oh, man.
And what he does is he takes out...
two of them.
If it's a six-cylinder car, he takes out two plugs, like number one and number six, which is halfway through the firing order.
Right.
And now he's got a four-cylinder car, and he's got, better than that, he's got two less cylinders to compress the mixture in.
Yes.
So he turns the key, and now with the available energy in the battery, it cranks up. Admittedly, it sounds like a Gatling gun when it starts, but he can run it long enough to charge up the battery.
Put the plugs back in.
Put the plugs back in. All the neighbors, of course, from miles around come because they think someone's being shot at. But then he can then put the plugs back in and fire the thing up.
This was brilliant!
And drive home.
Brilliant!
Do we have a winner this week?
Who cares?
The winner is Murray Priceless!
No, the winner is Robert Catabriga. Catabriga.
I would say Catabriga.
Catabriga from Lebanon, New Hampshire. Good work, Robert, for having his answer selected at random. Robert is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk store on our website, with which he can get a copy of one of our CDs, either the Disrespectful Car Songs collection.
Good choice.
Or the collection of classic calls called The Hatchback of Notre Dame, featuring our pal Dave from Bemidji.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so stick around. In the meantime, you can call us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jenny calling from Durham, North Carolina.
How are you, Jenny?
Good, how are you doing?
Oh, not bad, not bad.
Well, I'm calling because I'm hoping that you can maybe help with a dispute between me and my fiancé.
Fiancé?
Yes.
Whoa! How long have you been affianced?
I've been affianced about 3 months, and I plan to be affianced for about another year before I'm actually married.
Yeah. What is an appropriate time?
What is an appropriate time?
How long have you been going out with him?
About almost 2 years.
Two plus three. Well, another one will be three and a little bit.
Yeah, but I've known him for much longer than that.
See that? Now, I've been taking heat from my wife for all the years we've been married because I knew her and didn't marry her until 4 years later.
Ooh.
She thinks that 4 years is an unconscionable number. She thinks I was dragging my feet.
Well,
that I was.
To be honest, I mean, my brother is quite a bit older than his wife, and she wanted to marry him while he still had a few earning years left. Come on.
And I told
you
her.
You want to marry the guy when he's just about to get his Social Security checks?
Plus, I had to wait until she turned 18.
Right? That, too.
She never mentions that.
No. Well, her parents would have signed for it.
All right, Jenny, I'm sorry to change the subject here, but
Not at all.
I get carried away. Yeah, what's the story with you and him?
Okay, well, the story is that when my car is very low on gas, like when it's way down in the red, and I go to start the car, when I turn the key, it doesn't immediately turn over. It kind of goes, you know, before it actually starts. But when the gas tank is full, when I turn the key, it engages immediately.
Uh-huh.
And I just happened to, you know, mention this to my fiancé, and he said, that's ridiculous. There's no connection between the amount of gas in the tank and the starter. That's electrical. That has nothing to do with the fuel. And I said, you know, I have no actual facts to back this up.
You just have observation.
Exactly. Anecdotal information.
What kind of Japanese car do you have?
Ah, Honda Civic.
You all right? Have a gulp of water, will you? Drink some water. You'll be all right.
This is serious.
So you have a Honda Civic, and you've noticed that it takes long. You have to crank it longer when the tank is closer to empty.
Exactly.
Yeah. What does he do for a living?
He's in finance. I can tell.
Well, nope. You'll actually like this because he's a graduate student who studies something even more obscure than art history, even less marketable.
Oh, archaeology.
No.
What?
Bryology. He studies moss.
It's called bryology?
Bryology.
B-R-Y?
B-R-Y, exactly.
Study of moths?
Moss. Bryophytes. Moss.
Moss.
That's what he studies.
No,
oh, moss.
Moss. M-O-S-S.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was moss.
Yeah, it's like that stuff that's growing in your car.
In my car.
Exactly.
Bryology.
Bryology.
And what? Never mind. I mean, what?
I was just curious. I mean, what are the future opportunities in this field?
I'm curious about that myself.
Yeah.
Do you have a good job?
I do. I'm a nurse.
Oh, that's good. So you'll be able to eat at least.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll have control over our future car buying.
So this budding bryologist.
Yes.
Graduate.
Actually, it's good because people just confuse you with being a biologist.
I'm into biology, yeah. If you say it fast enough, you can fake them
marine
up.
Marine biology.
Marine biology.
Oh, man.
Well, the answer is that you were right.
Excellent.
Well, you could be right.
You could be right.
It could be completely bogus. But we could make a case that you're right.
No, I mean, bear in mind that the, and this is most noticeable, I'm sure, when the car has sat overnight.
Yes, definitely. First thing in the morning.
Yeah, because what happens is the rest pressure in the system, the maintained pressure in the fuel line between the pump and the engine will eventually drop to zero. Because there's a check valve in there, but it can't hold the pressure indefinitely. And over a long period of time, like overnight, the pressure in the line will drop to zero. And the pump must now pump the pressure up to get it to the injectors so they can squirt fuel into the engine.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you can visualize the thing, right? You got a big, long pipe. And during the day, after you've been starting the car on and off and on and off, when you turn the key to start it, that whole pipe is full and pressurized and ready to fly.
Right.
So the second you turn that key, boom, it starts. But if you emptied out the pipe a little bit, then every time you turn the key, you'd have to first fill up the pipe and then go through the bing.
And a full tank would help fill up the pipe faster because you'd be using what's called the head pressure of the full gas tank to push the fuel down the line by means of gravity, in addition to what the pump is doing.
So you could well be right in your observation.
I think I am.
Well,
I think you are too.
I think you are too. And even if you're not right, we just made a very powerful argument for you being right, and that's all that matters. The question now is, do you tell him, and how do you tell him?
Oh, I know exactly. I'm definitely telling him.
Then I'm not going to ask.
And we'll leave that to you.
We actually have a little wager riding on
Oh,
this.
Do we?
We do. So right now I think he owes me a dinner at the Cattleman Steakhouse. So
how are you going to break it to him? I mean, give us the specifics if you don't mind.
Well, let's see. I think I'm probably going to call him. He'll answer the phone, and I'll say,
Jenny, you have a mean streak. You have a mean streak.
You can tell, hey, bryology this, pal.
Well, we wish you all the best.
Good
Thank
luck,
you very
Jay.
Much.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bryology. I like yours, marine bryology. That sort of confuses it just
it
enough.
It clouds it just enough.
Just enough.
Nobody really asks.
Yeah.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's
like George Costanza. Hey, he was a marine biologist, too.
888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is David calling from Roswell, Georgia.
David.
What's up, David?
Well, I have a judgment call that I need help with, and there's sort of a mechanical thing in the middle of it, but what I want you to do is tell me that what I want to do is what I should do, because it may not be so. Actually, if I'm going to make a terrible mistake, tell me that, too.
No matter what it is, it's going to cost you $200 if that's what it is.
Okay. Well, I have two cars. And I really only need one. Both of them are fairly old, and I need reliable transportation. The car that I've had the longest is an 83 Subaru wagon. Mm. It's kind of like an old, ugly dog that's been very loyal.
Yeah.
Okay.
And mileage? How many miles on it?
105,000, roughly.
Okay.
So second lower car? Mileage than you would think for a car of that age.
Yeah.
And then I also have more recently gotten a 69 Camaro. That has about 92,000 miles on it. And I've been sort of deciding, well, I really ought to sell one and put the money into the other.
Of course.
And, of course, I want to keep the Camaro,
yes,
even though it's more than twice as old.
Because it's a what? Babe magnet.
Exactly
the Subaru
right.
is hardly a babe magnet.
It's a head turner.
You might say it's an anti-magnet.
That's right.
And you think that from one of these two vehicles, you're going to get reliable transportation?
Well, here's the clinker that's just sort of tipping the scales.
Yeah.
Recently, the Subaru has developed this funny problem. I'll be driving along. And I'll get a cloud of white smoke that goes on for about 3 seconds, pretty dense, and then nothing. Then it'll stop. It's like a cheapo version of a James Bond trick. The guy behind me gets slimed,
yeah,
and then it goes away, and it may not occur for another couple days. Yeah. Doesn't seem to be related to hard acceleration or to stopping or anything like that.
All right.
It looks like it might be oil smoke, although not necessarily. But it's so brief is the weird part.
Yeah.
Intermittent.
Will the answer to this problem have any bearing on whether or not you keep the Subaru?
You always do what you want to do unless there's overwhelming evidence not to do that,
or unless your wife tells you that you can't.
<That's right. laughs> She doesn't like driving the Camaro, so there that does factor in.
Oh, so the fact that you're married puts the babe magnet factor out of the
not necessarily.
No. Well, that's why I knew I had to call you, because you would appreciate all the dimensions of this problem, mechanical, as well as
philosophical, moral.
Well, I'll let my brother deal with the philosophical, moral, ethical, and all the other
I
will handle
technical.
The mechanical.
Mechanical. Okay.
Mechanical.
Yeah. Yeah. It's obvious.
Yeah. I mean, both of these cars are hopeless sleds.
Okay. So get rid of them both and get a bicycle.
The 69 Camaro may have a leg up on the Subaru because the Subaru has an incipient head gasket or cracked head problem.
Wow. Yeah.
I suspect the white smoke is from some small amount of coolant getting into one of the combustion chambers, either from a small crack in one of the cylinder heads or a breach in one of the head gaskets.
Right. And I would certainly,
and hence the white smoke.
So it isn't oil, it's coolant.
I believe so.
Probably is, and you can check it by looking in the radiator and see if there's anything in there.
Eventually the problem will go away because you'll simply run out of coolant.
Right.
And then that problem
and
will
and then cease. And then you, all your problems will be solved because right. you'll seize the engine, and that'll be the end of this big decision that you're trying
to
make.
That's right.
Right.
Is there any hope that with some reasonable maintenance, it could be reliable transportation?
The Camaro?
Jeez.
The Camaro.
Was it ever?
Well, actually, these are the days. If you go back to 1969, these are the days when General Motors actually made some pretty good cars.
Oh, surely you jest.
No, I do not jest.
Surely you jest.
How easily one forgets. Don't you remember my 67 Pontiac, which I gave away with 250,000 miles on the odometer?
How quickly I forget.
Don't.
What engine does this Camaro have, by the way?
It's the 327 with a deuce.
Oh.
The little block.
That's a nice engine.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Now he changes his
tone. Oh, no. It's coming back to me now. That's a nice engine.
The only thing to be said against the Camaro is it's not particularly safe.
Ah.
Obviously, a newer car would get you things like an airbag and anti-lock brakes and et cetera, and better handling, and give you some of the things that modern cars give you, which you'll never get from this car.
And which you may not want. I think the real issue is your wife.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I gather that this is a single car which would be shared by the two of you?
No, actually, we have another car that she can drive.
Right.
These
two jalopies are yours. She wouldn't be caught dead in either one of them.
Oh, and then there's no issue.
Well, she drives the Subaru just fine, and will drive the Camaro in. I mean, she's great. She will always tell me her opinion, but she's stayed with me regardless of whether I decided her way or not. It's, that I have no
complaints
about.
That's wonderful.
I'm only looking to trade in the car, not
to
the
have
wife.
Found a woman who is so understanding. Is I mean, that's what it's all about, right?
Yes, my brother can expand on his selection process in this regard if you'd like.
I too, I have to say, have a wife who is as wonderful as yours sounds like she is.
I would keep the Camaro if that's the one that your heart is with. Keep it, but in mind, it's not really safe, and it is polluting the atmosphere because it was designed to run in the days when we didn't care about what the air was like.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is keep it, but drive it as though it were an 83 Subaru wagon.
There you go.
With a head gasket problem.
There you go. As little as possible.
As little as possible. You got it.
Thanks so much.
Good
Thanks
luck, David.
For calling, Dave.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, look, Tommy, what does it mean when the little hand is over there and the big hand is over here?
It means that NPR is too cheap to spring for digital clocks?
That's
perhaps.
Right. It's time to take a break.
We're going to be back in a minute.
There are roads to cross and hills to climb. Half the total performance of Ford each time. So do it, see it, go there in a Ford. Drive along a street or country lane on a winter's day or in a summer rain. So do it, see it, go there in a Ford.
And even though Christopher Columbus rues the day he asked Enzo Magliozzi to point him in the direction of India whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, one of the hosts of On Point, the NPR show that takes you behind the headlines. We've done a deep dive series on education, and all episodes are available to binge now. Listen to On Point now on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. This Puzzler comes from the World War II series.
We haven't had one from the String series for a while.
Oh, you know, you reminded me that I do have a few of those coming up.
You do?
I do, if I can locate them.
Those are great. I love the String ones. World War II. That's interesting also.
Yeah. You ready? David Thorndike had been operating as a spy behind the German lines even before the outbreak of hostilities in 1939. Don't look for his name in the encyclopedia. I made it up. As the son of an English father and a German mother, he was perfectly suited for the job. I mean, his knowledge of the language, the German culture, music, you know, history were unsurpassed.
And he could eat with a fork in either hand.
Indeed. And yet among his colleagues, he was not above suspicion. In the Third Reich, nobody was above suspicion.
No. Yeah.
He was watched and watched carefully, but never a false move did he make. As the war wore on and invasion plans materialized, he became encouraged, even euphoric, that soon the war would end and he would return to merry old England.
Jolly old England.
Oh, not merry.
No. Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas. I know.
Jolly England.
He returned to jolly old England. Well, it was going to be merry when he got there.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. No, it's important. Then one day he was in Berlin, maybe lost in his thoughts, thinking about his return to merry old England.
Yeah.
And there he was standing there in a busy street corner ready to cross the street.
Oh.
And he feels a tug on his sleeve.
Oh.
And a pistol in his ribs.
Oh.
He's been discovered.
Yes.
And the question is, how did they know? Now, if you think you know the... And all the hints are there. And as are all the red herrings and...
Yeah, of course.
And everything. So if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill. Or a stale Pop-Tart.
What a great idea.
Well, Pop-Tarts are pre-staled.
They're pre-staled, they are.
Yeah, you de-stale them when you pop them. Or when you toast them or whatever you do.
I never realized that before. I had one the other day. I don't like to toast them.
You could re-shingle your house with these. If you ever got enough of them on sale, you could re-shingle your house with Pop-Tarts.
Raspberry. You could have raspberry shingles.
Well, and the frosted ones, Dougie says, they're waterproof.
And they're pre-painted. I love it.
Anyway, since you're Pop-Tarts, they got to sue us. I actually do eat Pop-Tarts.
Well, I see one in the cabinet once in a while, and if I'm really hungry, I will eat it.
Well, they ain't considering, though, the unique chemistry involved in these. They're pretty good. And they last forever.
Yeah, although some of the packages still say, great for your bomb shelter.
President Eisenhower says.
Yeah, Ike says. I like Pop-Tarts. You may like Ike, but I like Pop-Tarts.
Anyway, send your answer to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
I was trying to remember the Puzzler. I forgot it already.
Or you can email your answer. Someone help me. I'm being held against my will. Or you can email your answer from cartalk.com if you'd like to call us. Somebody please call quick. The number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Felicia.
Oh, come on. Give us a break.
Wait a minute. Say it again. We don't want a spelling yet.
Celacia.
Celacia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd have to go C-E-L.
Celacia.
C-E-L-E-S-I-A.
It's pre-Greek, so that'll kind of the spelling might be a little bit different.
K.
I got C-I-L-E-S-E-C-I-A.
Almost. It's S-A-L-A-C-I-A.
Oh, Celacia.
Celacia. Mm-hmm. And what, pray tell, this is a Greek name?
It's pre-Greek.
Pre-Greek. And, Macedonian.
It's listed in some of the Greek mythology books.
Oh.
It's listed as the 49th, or one of the 49 daughters of Zeus, goddess of the dolphin and mistress of the sea.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
What an intriguing name.
Well, thank you.
Celacia.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Thank you.
And where are you from?
Macedonia.
Cortez, Colorado.
So what the heck do you want?
Well, I have a Mazda.
You do?
A 323 wagon.
Mm-hmm.
And my problem is when I'm driving, like, between anything over 45 miles an hour, you know, between 45 and 65, the car weaves to the left. And it doesn't matter. I'll have more problems if the road happens to be grooved.
When you say weaves, you mean it leans,
pulls
to the left, wants to go left.
It kind of jerks.
Oh.
And it only does it in a left curve, and it doesn't have to be a sharp curve. It's more like a nice rounded curve that you should be able to take real easy.
Wait, I got to get this straight because I'm not sure I understand.
What's
the
frequency?
Driving along on the straight road,
okay.
And the road now curves gradually to the left.
Yeah.
You start to make that left curve, suddenly the steering wheel starts to jerk back and forth.
Yeah, the whole car does.
What's the frequency of this weave? Once every second, once every 5 seconds?
About once every 3 seconds, as a matter of fact.
So you get a whoom, whoom.
Yes.
Whoom.
Yeah.
Ah, so it's a slowish kind of
weave. And if you began to go straight ahead, the weave would go away?
Yes. And I started to notice it because the stuff I have suspended from my mirror, you know, kind of like
it gets
going a good, pretty good rocking, you know. And
what do you have hanging from the mirror?
Well, being a woman driver, and if I have a passenger in the car, you know, it kind of makes them a little nervous.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to find out, you know, what's going with it. I've had tie rods changed, and I've had idler arms or idlers changed.
Do you have any pyramids hanging from the mirror?
Crystals.
Crystals. I mean, the pyramid shape things.
No, I do have stones, but I don't have crystals.
Stones. What kind of stones are they?
Well, one is a leopard skin agate, and the other one is more in line of like a sardonicus.
Hey, would you have bought this car if it had leopard print carpeting?
It doesn't matter what the car looks on the inside to me.
Well, I mean, obviously, you've had experts look at this thing, and they have checked the tire rod ends, and they've checked the ball joints, and I would imagine if they checked the tires and found nothing wrong with it, at the very least, they would have rotated them.
Yeah.
Moved them to a different location.
Yeah.
Which, if not eliminating the problem, certainly would have changed it. And none of those things has yielded a solution as of yet.
Right.
No.
I mean, the symptom lends itself to something wrong with some part of the front end. But I assumed that since you had actually brought it to places that they checked all that
stuff. Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here and
say they didn't check it right?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm going to guess it's something.
Oh, good. Okay.
I'm going to guess that you have a bad axle.
Oh.
You have a bad axle. You have a CV joint that is binding up. And it is
binding up
when you're making a turn. And for whatever reason, I don't know, it can also bind up going straight ahead, but it's more likely to bind up when you're making this left-hand turn. You should ask them to, as an experiment, replace one of the axles, and if that doesn't help, replace the other one. And I bet you one of the two is going to solve the problem.
Okay.
And I would start with the right axle.
The right axle.
Would you?
Yes.
With the right axle? Yeah. The opposite axle.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I'm a contrarian.
Okay.
That's my position, and I'm sticking with it.
So you say I have possibly checked a CV joint that is blocked?
No, it's binding.
Seized.
Binding.
Yeah. Okay.
And the easiest way to do this is for them to just buy a rebuilt axle from the parts house, slap it in there, and have you drive the car.
Okay.
And when you tell them that the problem is solved, you can pay for the axle. And if it isn't solved, they can take that one out and try the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And when it isn't solved, you can call back.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Okay. Well, then, thank you.
See you, Lisa.
It's been a pleasure talking to you.
It's been a pleasure to talking with you also. I listen to the program all the time. I love it.
Well, thanks.
So the two stones, let me get this again, are an agate?
A leopard stone agate.
Yeah, I can visualize it.
When you grab it, when you hold it in your hand,
yeah,
it puts, the legend behind it is that it puts positive energy into the body.
Oh, positive ions. Those things are infinite source of positive ions.
Definitely. We can always use a lot of positivity around here,
yeah,
especially Montezuma County.
And what's the other stone?
It's a sardonicus.
What is that?
It's a red type of a stone that when you look into it, it has depth. You can actually see depth to it, but it happens to be for a Virgo, and I'm a Virgo.
Yeah.
So I just kind of hang it around there for okay.
Do you happen to know a guy named Omian Aspiavados?
No, not at the moment.
No. Okay.
Well, he may be in your future.
All right. Thanks for calling.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Have a good day.
You
bye-bye.
Too. Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kurt, and I'm calling from Glen, New Hampshire.
Is this a Kurt with a K or a C?
Kurt with a K, K-U-R-T.
No kidding.
And you're calling from where in New Hampshire?
Glen, New Hampshire.
So what's going on, Kurt?
Well, I actually have two theories related to automobiles and driving.
Ah.
And as you know, theories are great because they don't have to be based on any proof.
Right.
And don't forget, most great ideas come from observation of something.
And that's exactly what this is.
Okay, lay it on us.
Well, this is a tourist-based area, and there are an awful lot of tourists that drive up here in the summer and in the autumn to look at all the leaves.
Right.
And I get pretty frustrated driving in these huge parades following vehicles going 26 miles an hour in a 40-mile-an-hour zone.
Mm-hmm.
And I have begun to notice a trend. Yeah, and I have narrowed it down not only to a type of vehicle that is always at the front of these parades.
And we know that the guy in front is the slowest driver.
Yes, but it's also a model and even a color.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
That's specific.
I'm going to guess
that
what you've discovered is that the guy in front is driving an American car.
It is American.
Is it a guy?
It's almost always a guy.
Almost always a guy. And I think that vehicle he's driving is made by the Ford Motor Company.
It is a Ford.
Really?
Huh?
It's a Ford Windstar.
Windstar.
And it's blue.
Yeah. It's one guy that's ticking you off.
I think he waits for me.
It must be the same guy. every Sunday.
Yeah. And my theory is this. That the reason it's a Ford is because a Ford is it's kind of a fairly boring car to buy. A minivan, because they're grossly underpowered, and I think the people that drive them generally aren't in any hurry to get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And the blue part, I think that goes along with the Ford. I think that it's just kind of a boring color. And I think that these people just aren't interested in much else beyond their own life.
Right, yeah. And they're more interested in their kids and
yeah,
and getting the kids, the 3.2 kids and the and the dog to soccer practice and whatever, and any vehicle will do.
Yes.
As Columbo used to say, nothing fancy, just transportation.
Yep.
And they obviously drive well below the speed limit because they're up there looking at the leaves.
They are. They're looking. I like to say they're driving with their left blinker on, looking for a place to turn right.
Yeah. But that's okay because they're only up there a couple of weeks a year.
Well, I don't know. I think there's just one, and he's been harassing me.
Well, time for you to relocate, man.
I think so.
See, you've seen enough leaves already. You have become jaded. You've lost your appreciation.
Oh, yeah.
For the surrounding beauty.
Without a doubt. I try to leave whenever the tourists come.
Right. So I think you need to go and spend those peak leaf-peeping weeks
yeah,
in Manhattan. and you will then develop a deeper appreciation for where you live.
Yep.
Yeah,
see, my brother and I both have no interest whatsoever in leaf peeping.
Yeah.
And the reason is that we are both colorblind. And so when our wives say to us, look at that.
Yeah.
We're looking on the
look
sidewalk.
Look at those oranges and reds.
Yeah.
Doesn't.
I think she's referring to somebody walking down the street.
Yeah.
She says, not that way, jerk, this way.
Well, that's one of my theories.
Okay, that's theory number one.
The second theory is related to vehicles and things hanging from the rear view mirror.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And again, I have narrowed it down to one vehicle that by far is the vehicle that tends to have the most junk hanging from the rearview mirror.
Oh.
Like air fresheners and graduation tassels and baby shoes and whatever else.
Yeah, now this is not an American car.
No, it is.
It is?
Yep, different company, though.
Oh, it's going to be a General Motors car.
It is.
A Chevy.
It's a Pontiac.
Pontiac?
It's an older model Pontiac Grand Am.
Grand Am.
And it's usually maroon.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have a job, Kurt? I mean, I'm just curious what you do with your time.
I'm actually a school teacher.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
What grades do you teach?
I teach 5th and 6th.
Maybe they could move you up to 7th and 8th next year. I think you might be a little more challenged.
Yeah. I think so.
But, well, it's good to know that there are people paying attention to the. And how does this impact you? This doesn't necessarily, but you just...
No, I just have so much time when I'm sitting in these long, you know, rolling traffic jams.
Yeah.
Yep. I tend to notice things.
Do you ski?
I do.
Well, you know, a broken leg might keep you off the roads for a while. That's what this hope. Kurt, a pleasure.
Oh, boy. Okay.
And it's always nice to know that there are people out there who are looking.
Yeah.
Because you never know when you're going to discover something interesting.
Yeah, well, there's not much else to do here. Okay.
You haven't found anything interesting yet, but keep working on it.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his record-breaking Walk for Hunger, W-O-K, at the Greater Raynham Stir Fry, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge and Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our pseudonym consultant is Noam DePlume. Our divorce attorney is Carmine Not Yours. Our bungee jumping instructor is Hugo First. The Car Talk travel agent is Lois Fair Available. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikov and Dropoff. The banker at Car Talk Plaza Poker Games is Nikolai Putin. And our seat cushion tester, of course, is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is you, Louis Dewey. Known to the out-of-work physicists in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and whatever you do, don't drive like my brother.
And I have some advice. Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1941, subscribe to our weekly podcast, and check out our quality decontrolled clothing and best of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, want to ditch your old car before winter arrives and you find yourself stranded in a snowbank surrounded by hungry moose? Donate your old car to this station. You'll get a tax break and the station gets the proceeds. Check out the Car Talk vehicle donation program. Details are at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though city councils alter their leaf blower ordinances to require their use during our show, whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.